This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we're coming to you from the Quicken Loans studios, Rocket Mortgage style. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news, you can save a bunch of money. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So baseball released their regular season schedule for next year. Are you surprised? Do they always do that right now in August? They announce the next year's schedule?
They usually do it before the end of the season, yeah.
Really? Why is that? Aren't you like trying to figure out who's going to win these divisions and wild cards and go to the playoffs, and we're worried about next year?
Well, they always have the schedule ready, that's all. They put all that stuff in place.
Well, today didn't they announce the NBA schedule for next year, too, like the regular season schedule?
They did.
So they're competing with one another now?
I wouldn't say that. I don't think there's any different. I don't know how they'd be competing. They just happen to both be released the same day.
Opening day is March 26th. The 2020 season starts early, Thursday, March 26th. All 30 teams are slated to be in action. The slate includes matchups like Cubs, Brewers, Nationals, Mets, Twins, A's, Giants, Dodgers, Angels, Astros. 12 of the 15 games will be interdivisional games. That's followed up by a 7-game schedule on Friday and then full 15 slates on Saturday and Sunday, the 28th and 29th. So there'll be all kinds of interleague rivalries on the schedule. Yankees, Mets, Cubs, White Sox, Giants, A's. And otherwise, divisions will once again be paired off. Here's how it'll go. AL East against NL Central. AL Central against NL West. AL West against NL East. Those pairings will give us Cubs, Yankees, Cubs, Red Sox, Cards, Yankees, and Cards, Red Sox. As well as Mike Trout and the Angels will visit Bryce Harper and the Phillies July 17th to the 19th. Of course, Trout is from Jersey, right outside Philly, and is a huge Eagles fan. The Rangers are going to open their new ballpark. First game in the history of Globe Life Field will take place March 31st when the Rangers host the Angels. They're moving out of their current digs after just 26 seasons. The Mets and Marlins are going to play in Puerto Rico, a 3-game series at Hiram Bithorn Stadium in San Juan, Puerto Rico, from April 28th through April 30th of next year. They've held games in Puerto Rico in 2018, 2010, and during the Expos exile of 2003-2004. Baseball's headed back to London. They're going to play their first regular season games in England as the Red Sox and Yankees went at it in London this year. Next year, baseball returns to London with another pair of classic rivalries. The Cardinals and Cubs, those two will play a pair of games in London on June 13th and 14th. The All-Star game is in L.A. The Dodgers will host the 91st All-Star game on July 14th. The first time the Dodgers have hosted the All-Star game since 1980. Eric Hosmer will return to Kansas City. He was on the 2015 championship team, and his new team, the Padres, will play at Kauffman Stadium. A 3-game series starts July 24th. It'll be his first trip to Kansas City as an opposing player. The Field of Dreams game, Yankees and White Sox, August 13th, 2020, will play a regular season game at the Dyersville, Iowa spot of the movie. And then the Little League Classic is back in Williamsport. The Orioles will host the Red Sox with scores of Little Leaguers in attendance at Bowman Field. The final day of the regular season is September 27th, the full slate for the last day for divisional matchups like Cards, Cubs, Phillies, Nats, Dodgers, Padres, Rays, Yankees. In all, 12 of the 15 games will be division rivals. There you go. Very exciting. The Major League Baseball schedule has been announced, and everyone's talking about it. But the reality of what's going on here is that The contenders down the stretch right now in this season, 2019, is what matters, if you ask me. And you look at the AL Central. We were talking earlier tonight about the Twins and Indians, and the Twins and Indians the rest of the way look like this. The Twins schedule is at the Brewers, at the Rangers. They've got the White Sox at home, Tigers at home, at the White Sox, at the Tigers, at the Red Sox. And then Indians home, Nationals home, at Indians. So they do play them at home and on the road still. Oh, I see. Wait. At Tigers, at Red Sox, at Indians. So it is Indians at home and on the road. So they play them again at home and on the road. The White Sox, Royals at home, at Detroit, at the Royals. So there you go. So the Twins schedule includes the Brewers, Rangers, Royals, Tigers, White Sox. Only the Brewers and Rangers have winning records, with the latter three all well under 500. Compare that to Cleveland's opponents, the Yankees, Rays, Phillies, Mets, and Angels. Four of those five teams are in playoff races, and the Angels aren't too shabby, as we talked about before. The Indian schedule, Red Sox at the Yankees, at the Mets, Royals at home, at Detroit, at Tampa, White Sox at home, then at the Twins, at the Angels, Twins at home, Tigers at home, Phillies at home, at the White Sox, at the Nationals to end it. And then that's in the Central. In the National League Central, the Cardinals schedule is at the Royals, at the Reds, Brewers at home, Rockies at home, at the Brewers, Reds, Giants home, at the Pirates, at the Rockies, Brewers, Nationals at home, then at the Cubs, at the Diamondbacks, Cubs at home in St. Louis to end the season. Who do you think is going to win that Central when it's all said and done, Carver High? Cubs, Cardinals, or Brewers? Who do you like there with the schedules that I'm rolling off? The Cubs finish the season at the Cardinals.
Cubs.
You're taking the Cubs. The Cubs schedule's at the Phillies, at the Pirates. Giants, Nationals at home, at the Mets, Brewers, Mariners at home, at the Brewers, then at the Padres, Pirates, Reds, Cardinals at home, then at the Pirates, at the Cardinals to end it. So they've just been playing the Pirates and kicking their ass up and down. Now the Pirates are in Anaheim beating the Angels 8-2 tonight in the sixth. Meanwhile, the Pirates have won about one game in the last 2 months. The Brewers schedule has Twins now, then at Nationals, at Cardinals, D-backs at home, Cards at home, at the Cubs, Astros, Cubs at home, then at the Marlins, at the Cardinals, Padres, Pirates at home, finish at Reds, at Rockies. The Brewers finish on the road in Cincinnati and Colorado. The Brewers have it toughest with games against Houston and Minnesota. They do get a series against Miami, but nearly every other game on the schedule could be at least competitive. The Cubs get the benefit of three series against the reeling Pirates, as well as a series against the Mariners. The Card schedule in the middle of the two, but is in the middle of the two. But with 16 games left against the Cubs and Brewers, they're going to need to take care of business in the division, that's for sure. Then you got the wild card in the AL, Rays, A's. You know, in terms of who's got a shot, the Rays finish with the at the Dodgers, Red Sox, and Yankees at home, and then at Toronto. The A's schedule, they have at Texas, then Royals, Rangers at home, then at Anaheim, at Seattle to end it. You think that they could actually do well in those games. Even in Anaheim, I think that they would have a shot. The NL East and the wild card in the National League is certainly different. The NL East, the Braves finish at the Royals, at the Mets. I think the Braves are going to be fine. The Nationals finish at the Marlins, then Phillies and Indians at home. So they finish nicely at home, a series against Philly and Cleveland. That's the Nationals. The Phillies finish at the Nationals, and Marlins at home in Philadelphia to end the season. That'll be nice for them. The Mets schedule is basically brutal, right? At the Braves, then at the Royals. I think they can do well there. Indians at home, Braves at home, Cubs at home. Those are going to be brutal games. At the Phillies, at the Nationals, again, brutal. Phillies, Diamondbacks, Dodgers all at home. And then they go to Colorado, go to Cincinnati, and then the Mets finish with the Marlins at home, a series, and then the Braves at home. So there you go. Now, the Diamondbacks are also in it. They finish with home series against the Cardinals and Padres. So the Braves have a solid lead, and a benefit of an easier schedule. They do have to play three games in three different cities on consecutive days at the end of the month. Mets, Rockies, Blue Jays, due to makeup games in Denver. The Mets just rode the easiest part of their schedule to get back in a race. It gets a lot tougher from this point on with matchups against every division leader, including the Braves three times, plus Cleveland, Washington, Philly twice, and Arizona. Mafia, do you think your Mets are going to be able to go the distance and get in this thing, get in the playoffs, get a wild card?
I think they are. I think right now everyone's hitting so well, the whole team.
You got to stop drinking whiskey, Mafia, honestly. I mean, listen to him, Carver High. Carver High is very disappointed. He's over there shaking his head.
He sounds awful.
Awful. Should he be eliminated from the show?
No, you can't do that. I just hope he makes it through.
I mean, honestly, and then what are you going to... It looks like we're going to have to roll home with the windows down. I can't have you coughing and sneezing on me.
We rolled here with them down anyway.
Well, that's because I could tell there was something wrong with you, mentally and physically.
I think right now they have so many guys hitting well and pitching well. I think that, you know, of course, some of them are going to drop off. But right now, everything's going so well that if one or two guys miss, you could cycle in other guys that pick up the pace. I think they're going to get it done. They're going to do just enough and make that second.
And you're happy with the weekend against the Nationals?
I am. I think that was a good series for them.
They won, and they came back on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, the guy that just picked up Panic had a good weekend for them.
He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Drew in Cleveland on the Fan.
Thanks for taking my call, Scott.
Hey.
Yeah, so I think Cleveland is definitely in the pole position to win the Central. They have played 14 games now against the Astros, the Rangers, the Athletics, the Twins, and now the Sox. All winning teams, all teams that are in contention of going to the playoffs. And they have gone through this stretch now after winning tonight, 10-4. They are hot. Their pitching is very good, and I know I'm speaking, you know, somewhat biased opinion because I'm from Cleveland, but 10-4 against those five teams, and I know they still have a long stretch to go. They're playing the Yankees next, and then the Mets, and then I think they get a little bit of a breather with the Tigers and the Orioles, I think, or Royals maybe, but they've been navigating through the schedule with a pitching staff that has been extremely injured. And we've been bringing up these guys that you have to give the Indians front office, Mike Antonetti and Chris Chernoff. They are deserving of best managers in baseball because there's no way that Francona, Tito goes through this season and can navigate through this with that many losses and still have the best record in baseball since June 4th. I mean, you're talking over 2 months, and we've had the best record. And, of course, we've played some pretty lousy teams, but we're continuing it against the really, really good teams.
Well, you know, listen, now a lot of what you say makes a tremendous amount of sense to me, but I have to say, like, you talk about all these great teams that they've beaten, and I'm not so sure. Now, listen, I don't deny that they've been hot. That's for sure. They've been playing great, and they won again tonight. Santana with a walk-off home run. All they do is won. They've won 6 of 7. They've lost twice in like the last, maybe three times in the last 3 weeks. They've, you know, they've destroyed everyone. If you go back to the Astros series, they actually lost that series 2-1, right? And then they started winning. They beat the Angels three straight. They lost at home to the Rangers. Then a game was rained out, and then they proceeded to win the next two from the Rangers at home. They went to Minnesota, they won two, and then they lost a game, and they won again, so they took 3 of 4 there. And then they started the series tonight with the win over the Red Sox, walk-off style with Santana. So I'll give you that. Very impressive against the Twins. I'm not that impressed, frankly, with the, you know, anything against Texas or the Angels. I don't think those are good teams. They say, you know, the Angels aren't too shabby. You know, they actually are. And then the Astros are the, you know, maybe the cream of the AL, and they lost two of three to them. They beat up on the Royals. Who doesn't? They beat up on the Blue Jays. Who doesn't? So I'm not, you know, you talk about how all these great teams they're beating. They're actually not beating great teams, if you ask me, but they are playing great baseball. So for me, I'm with you that they're going to win the division. I think they've already, you know, I've always said, once you pass that lead car in the Indy 500, you're on your way. I mean, when you spend a whole race chasing somebody and then you pass them, it's over. I think they'll finish them off now. But stranger things have happened. Minnesota's not exactly playing, you know, horrific baseball right now. They're kind of playing 500 baseball, if you will. Meanwhile, Cleveland's on this tear, this pace, this incredible run. They're now 72-47, won a couple straight, 9 of 11, whatever it is. And the bottom line is they're winning. You know, all these people talk about who you're beating. That's fair. But I'm more about, I don't care who you play every night. This is the major leagues. You win the games. You know, people always brag, oh, they're beating the Pirates. Look, you're still winning games that you have to play. They have to play every single team. You have to play every single game, every single night. And no matter what it is, you got to win the game. And they are doing that. 855-212-4227. Any way you look at it, they're going to the postseason.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So I'm looking at the baseball power rankings this week, Carver High, and the top teams, because I've been talking about the Indians, right? They've now moved into the four spot as the fourth best team in baseball. Guess who's five? The Twins. And then three is Yankees, two Dodgers, and the number one team now is the Astros, according to those on the inside that apparently know more than all the rest of us.
Yeah, look, I don't have too much of a problem with that. Maybe not the Twins at five. I don't think the Twins are that great. Man, they're crumbling, as we know, and I think they're going to continue to do that. But I think that those four teams at the top right now, I mean, who else are you putting in there with those four teams? I mean, the Indians are 43-17 since, like, June 1st or something like that. I mean, they've been unbelievable.
Who do you think's more dangerous, the Indians or the Mets?
The Indians.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Because they're a better team.
So you think that, like, so the
you got to remember,
the Mets have had
Indians are in.
Since the All-Star break, the Mets have had the best record. Is that not accurate?
Okay, since the All-Star break they have, since June 1st the Indians have. We can keep making marks in the sand, and it'll come up different ways. The Indians are in. See, here's the difference. The Indians are in the playoffs. Okay, the American League sucks outside of those four or five teams that you just mentioned there. The problem with the Mets is, and all these other teams, there's a billion teams all jumbled around the same record in the National League.
To have a chance to beat them for that spot.
So what the Mets basically did is, they were in a spot at the All-Star break where they were at the bottom of the NL, they looked like they were done, and they ripped off a huge streak, and that ripping off that huge streak just got them back with everybody else.
Right.
They didn't blow by everybody. They didn't do it. They are with everybody.
They're in
now.
It.
It took that streak to get them in it. Now, are they going to continue to play that well, or are they going to go back to playing how they were before that? That's where you need to continue to do it now.
And how do you feel that they're going to do the rest of the way? Do you think they're going to fall back to who they are or continue playing hot?
Well, the next 3 weeks are obviously huge because they're playing so many really good teams in the next 3 weeks, including a couple series with the Braves starting tomorrow. I think they have the Indians in there. They have the Cubs in there. They have the Phillies in there. They have a lot of teams they're going to be playing that are in the mix as well. They started it with a 2 out of 3 over the Nationals. Now they'll go on the road.
We got to start. They're going to the Braves tomorrow.
Yeah, they start a series in Atlanta, and we'll see how it goes for them. But the Indians, they're making the playoffs. They're in. The Yankees, the Astros, the Indians, they're in.
Do you think the Mets regret the deals for Cano and Diaz? Diaz has been the closer that keeps blowing games.
Yeah, he wasn't the closer. What was it, on Saturday night? They left Lugo in the game to finish it. And then Diaz came in yesterday, down a run, and suddenly they were down 3.
He blew it. He gave up a home run, I think, in the night.
Yeah, they were down a run to begin with. He was just trying to keep it at 1, and it ended up him giving up a couple of runs. Regret the deal? I mean, look, I don't know. The one kid that they traded to Seattle is flying through their system. He just got promoted, I saw the other day. Up to either double A or triple A, whatever it was. so far, it doesn't look great. I mean, Cano had a bad first half. He was heating up, but now he's hurt. He's probably not going to play the rest of the year. Diaz has been a disgrace. But Diaz is also still young, and it's his first year in New York. Sometimes it takes guys more than 1 year in New York before they catch it.
So the Nationals and Cardinals right now have the wild cards. The Brewers are a half game back. The Mets are one out. Phillies two out. Diamondbacks 3.5. Giants or Diamondbacks 2.5 and Giants 3.5.
So you got you just ran off six teams for two spots right there.
Right.
That's a lot that can happen. Things can change fast in that group. You have a hot week. You have a cold week. Whereas we're in the American League. I mean, other than the two wild cards, I mean, really one wild card, because you'd like to think that as bad as the Twins have played, they're not going to at least drop out of one of those wild card spots. It's tough.
Geez, you wouldn't think. They have a 2.5 game lead over the Rays for the top wild card.
Right, and then what's the lead on the Rays on the team behind them?
1.5.
So you got basically 3.5 in terms of missing the playoffs altogether. So
do you like the Rays or the A's?
I think the Rays will be the other wild card team.
They're a pretty tough team.
Yes.
So then the Rays would play the Twins if it ended today.
That's how I think it will
happen. Who would you like in that game? The game would be a Target Field
right
now.
It would. We'll see how it goes by the end, but I would probably take the Rays in that game.
Take the Rays on the road in that game.
I'm not a Twin believer. I don't believe anything in the Twins.
Just don't buy the Twins because of what you've seen the Yankees do to them over the years.
I mean, look, when they face the Yankees, it's always a done deal. But just in general, I just don't think that the team is that great.
So when they face the Yankees, they have, like, no chance.
They have zero shot. It doesn't matter what it is. One game playoffs, it's division series, and it doesn't matter.
Didn't they, like, play the Yankees?
You could change the players, too.
But didn't they play the Yankees in the playoff, and they went up, like, 3-0 or something on Severino?
They knocked Severino out of the first inning,
and then they still
gave it right back in the bottom of the first. Didi hit a 3-run homer.
That was crazy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
Who's the best football handicapper? PharrellOnTheBench.com. That's who, Romeo. College football pro plays all season long. What are you waiting for? Sign up now. Baseball through the World Series, boxing, MMA, all the biggest fights. It's on PharrellOnTheBench.com. Every pick, every game, every day, every play. Give them to you all in an email with the picks ranked, favorite to least, the best picks. The best price, buck a day, son. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Sign up today. Hide the money from your wife. The Astros beat the Orioles 23-2 on Saturday. The Orioles were 1-5 on the week and had given up 22 home runs in those five losses. Verlander was starting for the Astros Sunday. The Astros were a huge favorite in Vegas. They closed at -460 at Caesars, just the ninth favorite of -400 or greater since 2005. Only the Dodgers at -485 for a game against the Braves in 2016 was a bigger favorite. The Astros scored three runs in the top of the ninth to take the lead, but a miracle. The Astros couldn't get the last three outs with two out and one on. Rio Ruiz came up against Osuna, and boom, I think he hit a home run. So the price on the Astros' money line scared away many bettors at Caesars, as 97% of the money was on the Orioles. Bad news for Caesars. How about that? Big win.
That's why it's so hard to bet baseball every day. I mean, I know that you can, you know, when you get teams like this year that are so bad, like the Orioles and the Tigers and the Royals and the White Sox, I mean, you can, I'm sure the people have done well this year just constantly playing against them every single day.
Right.
But, man, when you get a loss like that yesterday, that sets you back a couple of days. If you're playing it daily, that's for sure. It's so hard to bet it because it's, it really is. You show up at the park that day. There's no guarantees. There just isn't.
It's the major leagues. Like, I'm watching the Pirates right now, right? They're winning 9-2 over the Angels, and I'm watching them, and they look good tonight. But they have been the worst team in baseball, like, since, I mean, honestly, for 2 months that money can buy.
They showed up at the yard today, and they hit the ball a little bit.
They lose every game they play, and then tonight they're going to win.
Betting on baseball is such a dangerous game. It really is.
Tough way to make a living.
It is, very much.
Do you like betting on baseball in the playoffs? and the, you know, World Series? Do you find that, playoffs, you have a better chance?
The playoffs are a little bit different. You can get a little bit more of a grasp. You have a whole season's worth. There's only one game, you know, or two games a night that you can play from. But, man, the from April to September, the day in, day out, full card of baseball, different pitchers, guys just, you know, you never know what's going on. It's a tough game to bet.
I see Jorge Soler. Isn't that his name?
Yes.
35 home runs.
Having a big year.
I mean, he had two home runs in their win over the Tigers, second to Trout in the AL in home runs. He's hitting 327 with 12 home runs since the All-Star break. He has 22 walks, 23 strikeouts after being 28 and 108 in the first half. The team record for home runs is 38 by Moustakas in 2017. So he's going to pass that. Unbelievable. I remember Steve Balboni ranked third in 85 when he had 36 home runs. John Mayberry also ranked third in 75 when he had 34. There you go. This guy, Jorge Soler, is going off. He's going to hit all kinds of home runs. I saw Severino takes a big step in a bullpen session. So now, didn't they have Betances on a mound today? And then you're telling me that Severino's also throwing? What's the status there?
I believe it when I see it.
You still don't believe that either one of them are going to pitch.
Still got a ways to go before they're in a major league game.
Jake Arrieta considering surgery to repair the bone spur in his right elbow. He said he's not sure he wants to make a decision right now. And they were off today, and then they're going to talk tomorrow. It hurts every day. I just wasn't able to get through my share of the outing and preserve the lead. The bone spur was first reported on July 7th. When Kapler said the team was monitoring the injury. Arrieta has struggled this year. 8-8 with a 4.64 ERA. He's continued to struggle since winning the Cy Young. Bottom line is his arm, he's got an injury. And they're, like, rolling this guy out there to pitch.
Just keep sending him out. They got nobody.
I mean, what are you doing? They obviously need somebody else in that rotation to step up with Nola. And does that not kill them, this Arrieta injury? Do you think it'll be the their undoing?
He's been awful anyway. What's the difference?
Ooh.
How could anybody they put in be any worse?
So I saw this story today about grading the Harper and Machado mega deals in their first year.
Nothing like grading them, you know. They've 5 months. Let's grade them.
Grade them already.
Let's grade them already. They're both going to be playing for those teams, or shall I say, are signed with those teams for, you know, years and years and years and years. But let's give it a grade after 5 months. That sounds good.
Harper's hitting .381 with runners in scoring position, a career best, slugging .659 in high leverage situation, driving in a higher percentage of runners than ever before. There you go. But the highest percentage of pitches out of the zone in baseball this year, Bryce Harper, number one. They don't throw him pitches to hit. 58.8%. Pete Alonso to Mets second, Josh Bell third, Javi Baez fourth, Christian Yelich five, or Arenado of the Rockies is sixth. So here you go. You look at Harper against Reggie Jackson's numbers. You look at same number of career games, 1,044 through those games. Harper had more strikeouts, less home runs, less RBIs, hit for higher by, I think, 7 points, and had a higher on-base percentage. And then you got the, it says here, the ability to put fannies in the seats, Steinbrenner said. The Phillies are on pace to draw almost 600,000 more fans this year than last. The hottest draw in baseball when it comes to ticket sales. Their average ticket price is $36. Concessions and others rate at about $1 for every $5 in ticket sales. At about $43 per person, that's $25 million in added revenue. Harper's annual value is $25.4. So they're saying that Harper has impacted the bottom line of the franchise, making money.
Well, of course he has. I mean, the amount of tickets they sold before he even played a game for them was enough to give them a financial windfall.
So they have a thing on Machado, like Harper. Machado has hit well with runners in scoring position, 333, and is on pace for solid numbers in home runs, 36, one off his career high, and RBI is 97. He's had only one 100 RBI season, 107 last year, and he's an excellent defender. The problem with his season is it has had little impact. San Diego will sell out or sell about 207,000 more tickets this year than last, an $8 million bump in revenue. But the Padres just aren't getting it done winning. But here's this one. Worst hitters in innings 7 through 9 of 100 at least plate appearances. Machado is fifth worst in the league, hitting 178. Billy Hamilton of the Royals, the worst at 156. And then Harrison Bader, Albert Pujols, Jurickson Profar, the A's is fourth. Then Manny Machado is fifth. Anyway, first pitch fastballs, he hits 420 with seven home runs. Is vulnerable deep into counts, it says here. But he's been close to the hitter he's been most of his career. There's six games under 500 going into, I think, today. But Machado and Harper. Harper, I told you last week we were doing the show and he was starting to get hot, right? Hitting home runs. What was it? Thursday and Friday night, we saw him hit the home runs, right? He hit three in two nights. So seems like he's heating up to me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bomb when we were in here on Friday night. That one that he hit out into the cove was just...
I mean, that was huge.
Unbelievable. But, yeah, he's getting going at the right time.
So the Giants have announced that they will retire Will Clark's number 22 next season. No one will ever wear Will Clark's number 22 again. The Giants have retired 10 numbers. Barry Bonds, 25, going up on the wall last year. He's not in the Hall of Fame. Clark said that helped his cause. They've always had a policy where numbers that were retired were Hall of Famers, and then that changed when Barry got his number retired. He's not a Hall of Famer, so it opened the door.
I don't know.
You don't like it?
You know me. I'm very best of the best type of stuff with retired numbers and things like that. Played 8 years for the Giants. Look, part of a team that went to a World Series, the one that they lost to the A's in 88. I don't know. It's tough, but listen, I'm not a Giant fan. It's possible that, you know, he's beloved out there. I'm sure that he is.
Oh, he is.
So if that's the case and the fans are for it, I'm for it too.
So I always thought, and I think a lot of people thought, that he had, like, the nicest swing they ever saw.
Yes, that was one that a lot of the, you know, because that was my heyday, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old when he was a star in the league. And, one, you know, you always used to, you're playing wiffle ball, you know, during the day, and you're always mimicking, you know, the major league players' right. batting stances.
Right.
And it was always a favorite. There was one kid that always did it, the Will Clark lefty batting stance, always did it. It was a popular one.
He had a beautiful swing, and what a presence he had in the batter's box.
Yeah.
You got to admit, he had, like, no one, like, I got, you know, there's been so many players that, you know, over the years you just forget about, you know what I mean? Like, you could, there's tons of them. That you, there's players that you just don't care about ever again, right? No one, has anyone ever really forgotten that guy? Because I haven't. I thought he was really special. Like, he was great, right? Wasn't he at, like, Mississippi State or something like that? Where did he play? Oklahoma State, one of those two.
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. I got it right the first time. He was a great college player. And then he I thought he had a really good career in the pros with the Giants, for sure. I can see why they're retiring his number.
Made five straight All-Star teams as a Giant.
Right, he was great with the Giants. He really was. And I just thought his swing was so beautiful. It really was. I mean, there's no question. And I used to imitate it, too, right? Like, who hasn't imitated Will Clark's swing? That guy had the greatest swing, didn't he? Just standing in the batter's box, it was unbelievable.
Finished second for the MVP in 89. 89 was the year they went to the World Series and lost to the A's.
So wait, Bond's number has been taken out of commission along with Tim Lincecum's 55. But 22 has been worn by 22 other players since Clark's time in San Francisco ended. Some of those veterans include Jake Peavy, McCutcheon, Matheny. So they've had a bunch. Dan Ugla, remember that guy? And then McCutcheon was the last to wear it with top prospect Christian Arroyo getting it the year before that. I think it's cool that he's getting his number retired. I always liked Will Clark. I thought he was cool. Remember he used to have like that that face of his too. Remember that like downward smile thing he had going? Remember like he remember his when he was in the batter's box or whatever and he had that his lips would be going down like downward. And then didn't he used to like put a didn't he used to have like a dip in there too? He was rocking a dip.
Big one.
He used to have the biggest dip going. Mafia was dipping on Saturday. That's why he's lost his voice. He had a bunch of chaw going on his anniversary or his engagement. He got engaged, and everyone was talking about it. And then there was a lot of photos and a lot of paparazzi. And then right in the middle of it all, people were drinking and smiling and hugging and kissing. And there's Mafia over by the corner of the garage putting in a big old dip. I saw him working an angle with a big old can of cut leaf. He had a little, he had a big old, just a pinch between his cheek and gum, giving him full tobacco pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.